Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The central teaching of the Christian faith is that God freely forgives us all our sins for the sake of the obedience and suffering of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Since we are corrupted by sin and cannot by nature do what is pleasing to God, we do not deserve this forgiveness, nor can we earn it. We deserve God's punishment because of our sins. God forgives us freely. We receive His forgiveness through faith alone. We simply trust in the gospel that promises that God forgives us all of our sins for Christ's sake. This is the truth upon which the church stands. If this gospel is not preached and believed, there is no church. When and where it is preached and believed, the church of Jesus Christ rests secure. What is true of the church is also true of every individual Christian. If we are trusting in the obedience, suffering, and death of Jesus for the full forgiveness of our sins, then we have the forgiveness of sins. If we are trusting in our own goodness or piety or deeds for the forgiveness of our sins, then we do not have the forgiveness of sins. If we are trusting in Jesus for forgiveness, we may rightly regard ourselves as being forgiven by God. Heaven is our true home. If we are trusting in something else, in a mythical God who winks at sin and surely wouldn't condemn anyone for it, we do not have the true faith and we do not have the forgiveness of sins. Heaven is not our home. This is why it is vital for the church to confess the truth that our good deeds do not gain forgiveness and eternal life for us, and that Jesus Christ does. He alone does. He is the only Savior. All other paths to heaven are roads to hell. When the church fails to teach this, she denies her Lord and herself. When we individual Christians fail to confess this, we deny our Lord and our Christian faith. How do we confess this faith? We come to church. We confess the creed. We listen to the scriptures, the preaching, and the word of God that is taught throughout the liturgy. We pay close attention. We eat and drink Christ's body and blood. We sing and pray and confess before fellow Christians what we believe. We confess our faith by what we do in church on a Sunday morning. We confess our faith to those outside of the church whenever we have the opportunity to do so. We tell people who ask us what we believe and why we believe it. We don't change the subject when religion comes up. We refuse to submit to social rules that forbid us from doing what our Lord would have us do. We welcome the opportunity to confess what we believe. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We also confess what we believe by what we do. To say we believe one thing while doing another is to deny what we say we believe. Thomas Kingo hit the nail on the head with these words from his hymn, how fair the church of Christ shall stand. 'Tis all in vain that you profess the doctrines of the church unless you live according to your creed and show your faith by word and deed. The very heart of our creed is that God forgives us freely by his grace for Christ's sake. This means that the very heart of our lives is forgiving those who sin against us. How can we confess one thing and do another? When Christians confess their faith in the forgiveness of sins and then refuse to forgive, they deny their own confession. This is no minor matter. We say we believe that God forgives us our sins freely for Christ's sake. We confess this. We go to the Lord's Supper to eat and to drink the body and blood that were once and for all given and shed for us. We receive forgiveness of sin through faith. And then we turn around and refuse to forgive those who sin against us. This cannot be. Jesus told a parable so that we would know that this cannot be. As children of God, we forgive. We do not consider whether the person who sinned against us deserves our forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness is for those who do not deserve it and cannot possibly earn it. Jesus told a parable, immediately following the words of our text, about an unmerciful servant. The king forgave him an impossible debt. Jesus deliberately chose a sum of money that would be impossible to repay. 10,000 talents. Millions and millions of dollars. It was an absurd amount of money. The servant couldn't possibly pay. The king forgave him the entire debt. And then this same servant went to a fellow servant who owed him a sum of money equal to about 100 days of work. And when his fellow servant was unable to repay, the unmerciful servant refused to forgive him. He required his fellow servant to pay what he owed. And when the king learned of this, he responded by throwing the unmerciful servant in prison to be tormented until he paid what he owed. Jesus concludes this parable with this warning: "So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." In the Bible, hell is described as prison. There's no escape. There's no mercy. There's no forgiveness. There's no hope. The pain and misery in hell have no end. And the love of God in Christ has no end. And this is why Jesus told Peter that forgiving his brother 7 times was not enough. 70 times 7 times is another way of saying that we never stop forgiving. We never refuse forgiveness to those who confess their sins to us and ask us for forgiveness. Now, one could argue, I suppose, that this doesn't mean we have to forgive those who don't confess their sins to us. Clearly, you don't go to people who haven't confessed to doing you any wrong and say to them, "I forgive you for the wrong you did." No, we don't, but we do forgive them. God himself doesn't tell the impenitent sinner that his sins are forgiven, because the forgiveness of sins is not intended for those who are not sorry. To offer God's forgiveness to sinners who are secure in their sins is to throw pearls before swine. The gospel is for sinners who confess their sins, are sorry for them, want to avoid them in the future. On the other hand, when Jesus suffered and died for all sinners, God washed away the sin of the whole world by his blood. That's what Christians sing every time they go to the Lord's Supper. They sing, "O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us." God did not wait for a fallen, sinful humanity to ask him for forgiveness before sending his Son into this world to suffer and die. He gave his Son of his own choosing, out of his own love, because God is love. And this is what marks his children. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't rejoice in evil. It does not relish in the battle against the neighbor. Love forgives. It forgives and forgives and forgives, not a mere 7 times, though undoubtedly Peter thought he was being generous, but 70 times 7 times. It seems impossible. If we are wronged, there must be a right. Who will right the wrong? Who will bring us justice? If God insists that we simply forgive, then how can God bring about justice? Should those who do wrong be permitted to get away with it? Should evil be forgiven? After doing harm to innocent people, should there not be justice from a just God? We Christians understand the conflict. It surely does seem impossible to forgive and forgive and forgive without ever withholding forgiveness. But we know something. We know something that the world does not know. And that is that forgiveness doesn't deny justice. Indeed, it was precisely as Jesus met all the demands of justice that he won forgiveness for us all. And so we must forgive for Jesus' sake. It is for his sake that we are forgiven. Since he has paid our debt, God can, with perfect justice, forgive us all our sins without requiring anything from us, because he required it of his Son. And since Jesus has paid the debt of those who sin against us, we can forgive them without losing anything thereby. We see the sin in our brothers and sisters not as clearly as God. He sees everything. But we see what hurts us because we remember the hurt. And we see the wrong done against us with crystal clarity because we interpret it in light of our hurt. So what do we do about it? Can we forgive? Yes, we can. We can forgive those who sin against us, precisely for the same reason that God forgave us, because Jesus died for them. He paid for their sins, and there's no need for them to be punished when Jesus has already suffered their punishment. We can forgive those who sin against us. Now, you may think that you cannot. You may think that God will surely bind your sins against you because of your unforgiving heart. And there may be someone who needs your forgiveness, but you just hold on to hatred, and you won't forgive. And you know that God condemns you for it. What are you going to do? Confess to God your unforgiving heart. He forgives. He forgives all kinds of sin. And then when he has forgiven you, he will enable you to forgive those who've done you wrong. Not once or twice, but 70 times 7 times. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a Confessional Lutheran broadcast. The members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish are happy to bring this broadcast to you every Sunday morning. I'd like to tell you about our change in schedule. Beginning on the 2nd of November, that is next Sunday, we will have Divine Service at 8 o'clock at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, at 10:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 12 o'clock noon at First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. We invite you to come and visit one of the services of our parish, and we encourage you also to tune in every week to Christ for Us. If you'd like to know a little bit more about what we believe and teach and confess, log on to christforus.org on the World Wide Web. You'll also find sermons, both written and audio form, that you might want to check out. If you have any questions or comments, just email me. My email address is on the front page of christforus.org. And please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.